Couple of quick plugs before we start today's show. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our handle is @NarbosPodcast. If you want to email us, our email address is narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com. Hit us up with your comments on future episodes of Degrassi Junior High and Degrassi High. And if you want to be on a future episode, let us know as well, and we'll try to set something up. You can also follow our show on all of the podcast platforms, including iTunes, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Spotify. So please give us a follow and subscribe on any of those sites, and you will be able to get us pushed to you every single week. The theme music for this show is brought to you by a band called Ew, You're a Girl and Girls Suck. They are a punk band from here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And their Bandcamp page is iagags.bandcamp.com. That's iagags.bandcamp.com. They used to watch Degrassi episodes when they took breaks from recording back in the 90s. Anyways, that's about it for the plugs. Let's get to this week's episode.
Yeah, we saw it a bit differently. Ash?
It didn't seem like a comedy to us. It felt darker.
Can you tell us why you felt that?
It's about breaking a person, their spirit, taming them and making them into someone that they aren't, making them into a lesser version of themselves.
Hello, hello, and thank you for joining us, your favorite Degrassi podcast, for yet another episode. Yeah, we are cruising through season two of Next Gen. We're already on episode 18, Dressed in Black. Yeah, we're here with the usual crew, minus one Barry, who is been dispatched on a phone emergency situation in Newfoundland.
Teledildonics situation.
Yeah, well, I wanted to be discreet, but yes, it is in fact teledildonics situation. Mm-hmm. So we hope the best for Barry. We'll see you back next week, God willing.
Yep.
So right. I'm Courtney. I'm going to be leading you through this episode. I'm up in O-Town. Nothing much going on here. The only interesting tidbit that I wanted to mention is that I recently saw the trailer for the upcoming Friends reunion, and it scared the shit out of me.
Because
I don't know if any of you have seen it.
Because they're going to make lesbian jokes in it and be like, oh.
No. Put aside all my issues with the original Friends, but in the trailer, they have like Friends now. Like their ages now, reenacting some of the scenes from before. So you're expecting their old faces, but you get their new faces, and it's fucking terrifying.
I'd argue that you get their old faces because they're old now.
Mm-hmm. Whatever, semantics. Uh-huh. It like bloated corpse fish. They look very scary. And it was very disturbing, and I couldn't get past it. So I'm not sure if any of you guys have seen the trailer, but that was my big event of the week.
Big week for you.
Yeah.
Wow. Lots happening here, guys.
Drink lots of liquids. Rest up.
In any case, hopefully some of our listeners will be able to understand what I'm talking about. In any case, Instagram, Courtney.1293. Podcast at Narbos and Broomheads Podcast, and let's ship it down the 401 to Slimp.
That's me, Slip. Hi, everyone. I'm Alan. I'm in Toronto on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok. You can find me at Slip with Five Eyes or Slip, and I don't really
have... Did you get any more dick pics this week?
No. Yeah. No, it wasn't a pic. It was a guy... whacking it in an elevator. It was a video.
Must be special.
Yeah, I'm way beyond dick pics. But no, I have not received any. No, unfortunately. It's too bad,
right? Your content must not have been up to par this week.
It sure wasn't. I guess what we're going to have to do now that all five of us who regularly are on this podcast have received first doses is people got to take their bets on who's getting the second dose first.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's get some odds going.
I mean, I would call myself the favorite because I was the first to get dose one. But that being said, second doses are going to be done differently in certain provinces. So I don't know. Part of me, if I was to make a bet right now based on how the provinces are going, I'd actually say I'm going to make Arlo my favorite. That's my call.
There's a schedule that they put out, a tentative schedule, and it looks like if it sets, I mean, anything could change at any time with vaccine supply. We all know that. But the tentative schedule should be sometime in the second week of July for me. So we'll see.
Shit. That's when I'm scheduled to get my second dose. And I got my first one.
The race is getting hot.
Yeah.
Shit. Place your bets.
As I mentioned in the last episode, they've said 10 weeks now from between AstraZeneca doses. So, you know, as long as I don't die from my blood clots in the next month or so, I would reach week 10 right before Canada Day. So that's... but now I still have to get the shot. They still have to have supply and blah, 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 blah. I will tell you, though, they've said 10 weeks. If they get to a point where they're just like, fuck it, like shoot them up like they did for the first dose, I will step over people to get that shot. So.
Oh, shit. You've been warned, Toronto. What's the minimum for Pfizer and Moderna? What's the minimum?
I think one is 21 days and one is 28.
Oh, shit. That's way shorter. Okay.
Yeah. Well, AstraZeneca, it's kind of like we were saying 16 weeks and then they've turned it to 10, but that's the country's recommendation. It's people have been getting them in shorter intervals. Like everyone in the UK was getting them in, I don't know, I would assume within a month. Like, I think.
Well, they did.
Pfizer and Moderna are supposed to be somewhere around like within 4 months is what you're supposed to be doing.
In Canada, that's
depending on when they get the supplies.
Canada made that decision, but that's not what the product recommends.
So that decision is mostly based on supply and trying to get as many people vaccinated as possible with the first dose, right?
Yeah, it was their strategy to get as many first doses in people.
But the actual health advice, if that wasn't a problem, would be what you said, Alan, like 21 or 28 days.
Well, and those are for those first two products. But, you know, part of the issue is that, and this is the vaccine science podcast, everybody.
I know, I was like, you should turn this off.
Part of the issue is that this is all new shit, right? Like, everything is still brand new. So they're like, well, we tried it like this, so we're going to roll it out like this. But it's literally the first thing that they've ever done. So... you know, 10 years from now, we'll know a shit ton about these fucking vaccines. But right now, we're kind of like we are making it up as we go along.
We are.
Yeah.
And that is always blows my mind. And I'll stop as soon as I say this is when like the opposition like latches on to that and uses that as an accusation. Like, you know, you don't know what you're doing. Like, first you said this, then you said this. Like, it's science. This is brand new. It's evolving. Nobody fucking knows.
New information becomes available every day.
Yes.
Exactly. Any case.
So anyways, I'm going to lob this over to Arlo before we get too way too deep into this.
Hey, everybody. It's Arlo coming to you from Saskatchewan, Canada. You can follow me on Instagram at ARLOESCOTT.
How's Fancy doing?
She's doing great. She still doesn't have her forever home. She's still available.
Did you hear that, listeners?
Yeah. What's the return policy on such items?
No returns. There what?
Oh, really?
No returns, eh? Ooh. But there is a monthly installment option, I believe.
I believe that she has a manufacturer's warranty on her, though, in case something goes wrong.
And you can get financing.
Manufacturer's like, we don't want that fucking thing back. Like,
I mean, if it's a, usually like companies will have a warranty if it's an actually like a defective product. Mm-hmm. You can't just send it back because you don't like it, though.
No, sure. Your penis gets chopped off by her vagina, mechanical vagina.
Exactly. Arlo, do you sell something called a fleshlight?
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, many. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most popular men's brands.
I was going to say, Fleshlight's like the thing, right?
Yes, I saw it on a show I was watching, and I had never heard of it.
Really?
Clearly, it's a flashlight, but a different purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, no, they're one of the most popular men's brands. Yeah.
Well, Father's Day is coming up. How much do you sell those for?
They're between $100 and $200.
Well,
that's
Courtney's done.
Pricey. Yeah. Guess I'll go with a flannel shirt and a tie.
Tube socks. A lot cheaper.
Yeah. I'll get them a size smaller just for a treat.
Flashlight with the batteries taken out.
There you go. Sock inside. I'm going to put that on Pinterest. DIY flashlight.
Enjoy yourself.
Do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great.
Stop. Narbos and Broomhead's the only podcast that can pivot from a vaccine debate to discussion of fleshlights in 2 minutes.
And we'll roll that fleshlight on over and shine it up on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm. No, the lights are out. All we have in the house is a fleshlight. Oh, no. This is not... Oh, hijinks ensue. No, and you can't see anything. It's like, I need
candles
to go down to the fuse box. Hey, everybody, I'm Ted. I'm at Seiwa3 on the internet. Just go look for me. Just Google it and see if you can find me. I'm out there somewhere. Yeah. Fleshlights, friends, COVID. We got it all here on Narbos and Broomheads. And back to the show, I guess.
Heck yes. Let's get started. We are reviewing episode 18. Like I said, Dressed in Black. And I will throw it over to one of my more musically inclined friends to take us down that road.
I'm going to have so much information about this one.
Can't wait.
There are three Wikipedia entries for Dressed in Black. One from 1966, one from 2014. But based on the pattern that we've seen throughout these episodes, I am assuming that the reference is to Dressed in Black, a 1986 song that was performed by Depeche Mode. I do not believe it was a single. I don't know anything about it. I just know that it exists. Back to you, Courtney.
Rave reviews from Alan. It exists.
I like Depeche Mode, but I am not a big enough fan to know the song.
Okay. Wow. I mean, again, there probably were alternate song titles that could have been chosen for this episode, but I think compared to at least a few previous episodes, this one seems a little bit more appropriate and understood. Unfortunately, we don't know anything else about the song, so let's dive into the episode. We have a Canadian air date. Does anybody even care when it aired? No. January 19th, 2003, in the States, not till August 15th, 2003. For writers, we have Sean Jara, Jana Senior as teleplay, and everyone's favorite, A.A. Ron Martin. Yeah. All right, so we open this episode with a scene that gives me instant anxiety as we see what amounts to probably like fucking 50 lit candles all over this room. No fire extinguisher in sight. Serious fire hazard happening here. But obviously we see that this setup is to shine a spotlight on Ashley, who is in her goth glory, sitting on a piano, playing a song for her boyfriend, Jimmy.
This is why I hate dating, like, musicians. They're just like, oh, can I play a song for you? And you're like, oh, okay. And then they play it, and it's awful. And you're like, oh, that's really great. And they're like, oh, I knew you'd like it. You want me to play another one? And you're like, okay. Can we do something else, please? I don't want to do this anymore.
There are so
do
many.
Do they look at you while they're doing it? Like, like that eye stare? Fantastic.
There are so many things happening here that would make me leave.
Like the candles being top of the list.
Yeah. No, welcome to my place. Let me light 500 candles as a first step.
I don't know, man. Like, I was thinking he was going to be sacrificed. Like he's like, well, I guess it's the end of the road for Jimmy. I'm about to be crucified in this room of this crazy girl.
I feel like Ashley's just like, oh, I really feel like the candles give me the energy that I need for the darkness of my music, you know?
That is actually, that's exactly what she's thinking. I am just still hooked on the fact that whose parents let them light 50 candles in a room?
Yep. Yeah, like a parent will come in and go, hey, or a Jeff will come in and go, hey, stop that. You're going to burn the house down. Stop that shit.
Also,
sorry, it's just not responsible.
Also, Ashley, who throughout a lot of this season is kind of like the smartest person in the room. Like when Terry, Paige, and Hazel are fucking around and do stupid shit. And in the last episode, you know, what's her name? Terry thought that Paige was going to die and Hazel and Paige were tricking her. And Ashley's in the background being like, this dumb bitch. And, you know, went and talked to her. And now we go to this episode and Drake is like clearly not into this shit. And Ashley's just like, it's so good we're back together.
I feel like we really connect on an emotional level.
Yeah.
Yes. So after I recovered from the fire hazard concern, we get to Ashley, who is playing this Claude-esque song.
Autumn leaves, dying leaves.
And all my anxiety about the candles dissipates as soon as they pan over to Jimmy, whose expression is perfect. He is clearly not enjoying this song. And all I was trying to like describe his face, and all I could come up with was a combination of confusion and apprehension about what was happening.
Drake's been waiting all day at school because Ashley has invited him over, and he is just thinking, when will I get to see boobs? And then he arrives and she's got totally different plans. This is what she's doing, and it's just like, what? Yeah,
like how long did that take to light all those candles? You know how long it takes to light candles on a birthday cake? Times that by like 100. Just so you ridiculous.
Think she, so you think she was walking in the room, like bumping into him, going, I just need one more over here. Okay, I just need one more. Oh, this one went out. Okay, so just stay there. Okay, just do you want like a Coke or a water or anything? Oh, just okay, I got to get this one over here. Like, and that one over there, the tall one. It's like, you don't need to help me. He's like, I would really like to because I want to go home.
Because I hate this. Yes. So she continues on singing her song to him. He is obviously uncomfortable, not having fun. She stops and approaches him and starts blabbing some nonsense about how they're connected, yada, yada, yada. And he continues to look super uncomfortable. And she apparently doesn't pick up on that and offers to play the rest of the song for him. And he reluctantly agrees. And happy opening credits.
Yay.
So again, this scene is obviously establishing a theme that we're going to explore for the rest of the episode. So we get the happy credits and we see Ashley at her locker and she is layering on what I wrote as some Marilyn Manson-esque eye makeup. which involves a lot of heavy eyeliner and some sort of eyeshadow. And not to be like super insulting, but it does resemble the aftermath of someone who has broken their nose. Like it's like the two black eyes, it's everywhere. I don't remember this this trend growing up, so maybe I'm just a little bit out of the loop, but to me it seems like a little bit much. And I'm pretty sure none of us went through a goth phase.
Can I point out one thing? Marilyn Manson, yes. You got it right. Bad Biddy.
Canceled.
Canceled.
Yeah.
Yes. Super Suck. Canceled.
The Bad Biddy.
So as Ashley's applying her makeup, Jimmy appears with their yearbook, and he wants her to sign it. And as they're looking through it, Ashley is obviously looking on photos of what she looked like last year, and she comments on how terrible she thinks that she looked. In the background, we hear a voice saying, "You got that right." And we are quickly introduced to a character. Thank you. Thank you very much. To Sully.
Yeah, Sully.
Who is apparently a fucking huge asshole.
Only time will tell.
So he walks by insulting her. Jimmy obviously speaks up to try and defend her. He calls Ashley a freak show. As Jimmy tries to defend her, Sully cuts him off and then changes course and actually starts to thank him for dating the creepy chicks and leaving the hot ones for him and his friends.
So Ashley, like in a previous episode, we found out that she was sort of emulating Ellie's look, right?
Yeah.
But
I guess so. Yeah.
Like she's the only one that seems to suffer any harassment.
You're not fucking with Ellie.
Of her wardrobe.
No, fuck.
You know?
Well, I think Ellie showed up the way she was, at least. Like we've never seen Ellie any other way than how she is dressed now. Whereas Ashley made a very significant change.
Well, and I guess she's a little bit more gothy than Ellie at this point too,
and she's in terms of the show a little bit more front and center as a character.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. I wasn't a hardcore goth in high school, so I don't know if that kind of harassment happened. Like this whole thing about sort of what you dress as in this episode was really foreign to me, because like I've always just worn whatever the fuck I wanted to. So I don't know. I guess it's a big deal for some people.
Okay. Well, I did want to take a fashion timeout here, as I noticed Ashley's wearing mismatching earrings. Not sure if that's a goth thing or not. But the one earring I noticed the most is very similar to a penis. I'm not sure if anybody else noticed that. The other fashion moment I wanted to point out is one of Sully's friends who looks like he's literally wearing a nightgown as a shirt. Like I understand the long shirt look,
yeah,
but like his shirt is like, I think it's below his knees.
So much material.
It made me laugh. In any case, after the teasing dies down, Jimmy apologizes to Ashley about them making fun of her. She says it happens all the time. And Jimmy's apology turns into somewhat of a backhanded compliment?
Kind of, yeah.
By not actually like telling her that what they're saying is untrue, his apology is telling her that if only she could see how beautiful she is on the inside, they wouldn't be talking like that about her.
Right. Uh-huh.
Good job, and Drake.
Surprisingly, to me at least, all she does when she hears this is give him like a mild side eye. And what I would have expected from Ashley is a little bit more calling him out on that.
Oh, they've just gotten back together. She wants us to work, I guess. I don't know.
So she's like, okay, you called me ugly. That's fine.
Yeah, like shut up with your feelings if you want this to work.
Anyways, it made me laugh. So next up, we see the always horny JT. And he is pumped up for Dr. Sally, who is scheduled to give his class her infamous sex talk next period. Toby, of course, doesn't understand his excitement. And JT utters what I thought was hilarious line. First, you get the knowledge. Then you get the power. Then you get the... And he never has the chance to finish his sentence because they run into Paige.
But he wants to say so pussy.
He wants to say what, Alan?
Pussy. So, you know.
So we're then take.
Yeah, he's about to say this when he sees Paige, who, you know, went through an assault earlier in the season. So that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, continuity doesn't happen in this series. So we're then taken into the classroom where the sex talk is supposed to happen. But instead of Dr. Sally, we see Mr. Armstrong dangling a giant condom in front of his class while explaining the various forms of birth control available to them. I noted that he left out one, the pullout method.
The most effective method.
I don't think he mentioned like sponges either.
I think
outdated. I don't even know if you can get those anymore.
No, but there's a Seinfeld episode on that.
Yeah. I don't know if he mentioned the diaphragm.
He did mention the diaphragm, IUD. Okay. I didn't write them down, but I just know he left out the pullout method.
Yeah.
I thought there was some that were conspicuously absent, but like the ring. Anyway.
Okay.
There's lots of vagina things, guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, Dr. Sally would have done a better job. So JT is visibly upset because Dr. Sally isn't there. And Mr. Armstrong explains she couldn't make it because she's in China.
It's weird.
And I'm like, of all countries, why is she in China? Is she in prison?
I mean, I buy that she would take a trip to China. But, like, just, like, she randomly has to miss her engagement because she's in China. She's suddenly in China.
Sorry, kids, something came up.
Yeah, no, I'm in China. Go to China.
Yeah.
Yeah, very confusing explanation. Very weird choice of country. Very weird all around. Compounding this weird scene, JT suggests that the school should buy her a plane ticket back to teach his class about sex ed. In any case, the sex ed lesson continues with Mr. Armstrong touting abstinence as the safest option.
So he does teach in Ontario, so right now that would make sense because that's basically the curriculum.
He rips off his mask, and it turns out that it's Doug Ford.
It's Stephen Lecce.
My friends, let me tell you.
Please don't fuck, my friends. Please.
Folks,
yeah.
I'm up all day and night worrying about this.
I was talking to a guy at the golf course who said he fucked all the time. Let me tell you, my friends, that's wrong.
My friends. Yes. Manny pipes up asking what abstinence means, and that's great.
If she only knew in season 3. Yep.
Oh! Spoilers. No spoilers.
Mr. Armstrong explains what it is, and as he turns around to get some sex pamphlets, JT, who has been playing with the condom, accidentally flings it onto his back. Armstrong turns back around and says, if you choose to have sex, please make sure that you have a condom on you.
So
hilarity ensues.
So I haven't done a sex ed class in a long time, but like they don't have like the condom in the package. He's pulled the condom out. And are we led to believe that they just pass the condom around the class, like for everyone to hold, and then eventually gets to JT?
I just assumed, I took a page from Lucy's book and assumed that he had just finished putting it on a banana and taking it off.
Uh-huh.
And then I guess passing it around.
Pass it around.
Yeah. It's great.
Get a feel of it. Yeah. I don't know. We never pass condoms around our class in sex ed.
No.
So after sex ed, we are taken to Ms. Kwan's class, who is teaching the Taming of the Shrew. And the class is instructed to pair up, and they're each going to be acting out a scene of the play. So despite the fact that Jimmy and Ashley are sitting together, he ends up paired with Hazel, Ashley with Craig. After class, we see Ashley and Craig both agreeing how they don't like the play, saying that it's outdated, sexist, and unfunny, and it seems that they're going to put their own spin on the scene that they've been assigned to show everybody what's really going on.
I have really big problems with their interpretation, by the way. That's okay.
Actually, I was gonna put my money on Arlo, but yeah, all I know of Taming of the Shrew is the title. Arlo, can you inform our listeners? And not that Alan and Courtney can't, but you know,
I actually can't. I never studied the play.
Alan, do you want to say anything before it goes to Arlo?
I have watched 10 Things I Hate About You many times. So, same season.
Yes, same here. Yeah. I've actually talked about that on this podcast. Beer flavored nipples.
A little earlier than that, there's also something called Kiss Me Kate, if anyone's seen that.
I have not.
No. Okay.
Very famous play. Okay, anyway.
We'll do deep dive and then we'll come back to Alan about 10 Things I Hate About You. Okay, so Arlo, what is it about?
I'm not mad at their overall interpretation of the play. Like, it is the Taming of the Shrew. It's basically about this, I mean, it's the same plot as 10 Things I Hate About You. It's about this woman who's like a pain in the ass, basically. And her younger sister can't be wooed until she is wooed. So, like, all the guys basically, like, get together and decide that this one guy's gonna take one for the team. And woo her so that everybody has open season on like the younger, more appealing sister.
So it's like the girl with the hot dogs flying in her face. GIF. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. My favorite GIF.
Yeah.
So, you know, overall, like, I mean, it was written in Shakespeare's time. Like, is there some sexist stuff in it in terms of what women's roles are? Like, of course there is. Duh. But Kate is very much not a victim. Like, she holds her own. Like, she is, I don't like that they're painting her as being just a total victim here and that she's a beaten housewife or something. That's just not the case.
Okay. It
bothers me. And especially the scene that they're doing, which I have played in that particular scene before. It's really funny. It's a really funny scene. And Kate and Petruchio are evenly matched in that scene. She is not a victim in that scene. In fact, in the stage directions in that scene, she hits him, not the other way around. So in terms of the interpretation that they have of this particular scene, it really bothers me.
These fucking kids. Okay. Little assholes.
Yeah.
One question. So, the Taming of the Shrew and 10 Things I Hate About You, is that supposed to rhyme? Because I'm thinking, I'm just getting this now. Is it supposed to sound similar? Is that correct?
I'm not looking it up. Let's just say yes. Canon.
Let's just say yes and edit it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. I love it. I watched it a million times in my first year of university. Ms. Kwan is teaching Taming of the Shrew. They're pairing up, yada, yada, yada. We have Ashley and Craig being serious, and we have Jimmy and Hazel thinking it's funny.
It is funny. It's a funny scene. Oh, it really is. Yes.
Okay. Well, we'll get to that later.
I disagree. It's sexist and terrible, and I hate it, and it makes me mad. So there.
So we are now with JT and Toby, and so they are eating lunch, talking about condoms. JT's still bitter that Dr. Sally didn't show up. Yada, yada, yada. Toby tells him to shut up. And then Toby says that condoms are confusing. And that made me laugh. JT is equally as amused. And Toby clarifies that it's confusing because he doesn't know when to buy them. And obviously, I think he's trying to say in a relationship, he's not sure what is the appropriate time to initiate a discussion about sex. JT chimes in saying they should go buy them today. Why not? It's practice for when they meet the women of their dreams. Toby gets all mushy, saying he's already met his fucking 12-year-old girlfriend. JT is disgusting, insisting that's even more reason to go practice buying condoms. Their studly future calls. So next we're back to Drake / Jimmy at his locker, who's laughing about the play with Hazel. They think it's amusing, so I think they're agreeing with Arlo on this, contrasting the reaction that Ashley and Craig had. Hazel leaves. Ashley notices that Jimmy has an older picture of her in his locker, and it's a picture of her, I think, from last year, where she's not goth. Ashley wants...
She is not goth.
She's cute, and Ashley asks him to burn it. They then...
I have plenty of candles if you want to set fire to it.
Fire.
Yeah.
Seriously, let's have a ceremony. I'll sing you a song. They switch to talking about dinner plans. Jimmy is obviously going over to Ashley's place that night, and it's a weird, awkward conversation, but she tells him that they are having burgers and Kraft dinner.
She says Jeff, who we've, you know, I think we've asked a lot of questions about in the past, is making burgers and Kraft dinner, and now Jeff, best dad ever.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Tables have turned. What a hero.
She also tells Drake that her parents missed him and is, you know, talking like he's never been over to her place since they got back together. The opening scene, they were at her place. So,
again, yeah, with all of the candles and the fire hazards and no parents around. It's a very awkward conversation. And that it ends with Kraft dinner. And I had... no choice but to think about all our American listeners who were like, what the fuck is Kraft dinner?
Macaroni and cheese, everybody. Delicious.
Yeah. Mac and cheese, mm-hmm. Beeps. I would love to see like the dub over for American listeners. You see her like lips saying Kraft dinner and then it's like, mac and cheese. yeah, that would be funny. All right, so we're back to JT and Toby, who are in the condom aisle at the pharmacy and looking through different types of condoms. I feel like we've had this storyline before.
I miss Cupid's lurking in the background, though.
JT grabs the extra large ones, and I'm like, hey, that's my brand.
Oh, yeah, you walk right into it. We get the obvious extra large condom jokes. JT wonders out loud what ribbed means, and I think Toby fills him in saying for her pleasure.
It's the other way around.
Okay.
Yeah.
Toby wonders what ribbed means?
Yeah.
Okay. And regardless.
Oh, No, I'm wrong. I am wrong. You are right. I'm sorry. I'm willing to admit when I'm wrong. No, it was JT.
Good. Edit this out.
No, I will keep it in. Alan was wrong. First time ever. Okay. Canon.
Well, the whole point to me expanding on this scene was to say that all I thought about was Garth in Wayne's World.
For her pleasure.
Yeah, for her pleasure. They also find a pina colada flavored condom, and JT wishes they had bacon flavored. And that's great. And we are on to the inevitable awkward exchange with the cashier. They both approach and they stutter and stumble trying to explain that they're just trying to be prepared just in case. And then we insert a little homophobia into this scene, letting the cashier know, not with each other. Mm-hmm. Can we have separate bags, please? Yada, yada, yada.
And her face is like, I literally do not give a fuck.
And
her face is like, die.
Yeah. Please get the fuck out of here. And a last ditch attempt to like assert his masculinity, JT asks for a separate bag and also her phone number. And I just reflected back on the history of awkward condom purchases in Degrassi. And I think this one's probably the worst.
That's less comedic. I actually think this one might be the most realistic one. Like, there's also They look at the glow-in-the-dark condoms. Then they... I don't know what apparatuses they pick up, but they do a little lightsaber battle.
Yes, the old canes. They grab canes.
Yeah.
That scene is fine. I was just specifically referring to the exchange at the cashier.
She's... And the cashier is, like, a very young girl. Like, I don't even know if she's 18. She looks like a high school kid.
Yeah.
But, yes. I liked when JT was like, can I get your number?
And it's ice cold stare.
Yeah,
like there's no, there's no payoff. It's just like ice cold dead stare. She doesn't make a joke.
Yeah.
She just maintains. And I'm like, oh,
yeah.
I actually got Liz vibes from her.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Yes, agreed.
Except Liz wouldn't have said nothing with condoms. I like you, Joey. No. Get out.
Yeah, Liz is a little bit more vengeful than that.
Yeah.
So we are taken to later that day. We're at dinner with Ashley's family and Drake / Jimmy. Ashley, for some reason, asks Toby about Dr. Sally's sex class. And also asks Toby if he got any condoms.
Ashley insists on making this fucking dinner as awkward for Toby and Drake as possible. Awesome. Yeah,
so great. Itchy. Yeah.
Who starts off a family dinner with your boyfriend who had clearly, you know, you've just reunited, trying to have a nice, comfortable dinner, as comfortable as can be when you're involving parents and a boyfriend. And first question she asked, did he hand out condoms?
She's like, Drake, you're going to put a condom on your dick before you stick it in me, right? With her parents sitting there at the table.
Nah. Yeah.
And her mom's like, are you? Because, you know, I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom.
I also like how they do have KD and burgers and salad.
So Ashley asks Toby this completely fucking stupid question about condoms. Toby is obviously taken aback and says, like, it's none of your business. And then Ashley goes on somewhat of a rant saying, oh, what? It's important for young kids, or not young kids. It's important to have condoms as a teenager. And Jeff offers a different opinion, saying that he doesn't think that they should be giving out condoms to young kids. He thinks that it will encourage sex. Ashley believes that kids are going to have sex anyways. We've all heard this argument. Ashley's mom sticks up for Ashley, and she turns to Jimmy for an opinion. And Jimmy doesn't give a shit. He's like, I don't know, I'm hungry.
KD, pass it over.
I'm starving, whatever. And any normal person would take that social cue and be like, okay, he's uncomfortable. Maybe we shouldn't talk about condoms.
He doesn't want to talk about this in front of my fucking parents.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's not talk about condoms at a family fucking dinner.
I don't get this.
So anyways, she doesn't see his hesitancy. She pushes on. Things get a little bit more heated. Ashley insists that Jimmy has an opinion. And he finally... opens and says that he agrees with Jeff that maybe they shouldn't be giving out condoms to kids. And he apologizes, and Ashley says, it's fine. You're allowed to have an opinion. I wish I didn't have to force it out of you. And it's all very confusing. And I think it has to do with Jimmy preferring old Ashley to new Ashley. And we're supposed to understand that she just wishes that he would come out with it and give an opinion, but it's fucking stupid. So ridiculous.
Drake should be like, if this conversation ends, I'll let you just light all the candles you want. But, like, can we just stop, please?
Who does this? In any case, the question I was going to ask is that, yes, we noticed hamburgers, salad, and KD. The KD is still in the pot that they cooked it on in the stove.
Fancy.
I mean, accurate.
Artisanal.
And I was just saying, can we all relate? Because I can relate.
Yes.
We can relate.
What's the point of dirtying an extra dish? Just put the pot right on the table.
Yeah, or if you're a tracker, you just eat right out of it.
Mm-hmm. pushed it across the floor.
Or if you're Michelle's dad, you fucking burn your hand on it before you get to the table.
Son of a bitch. And then he says a bad word. He says a racist term because he's Michelle's dad. Reminder, bad bitty.
Bad bitty. He's mm-hmm. canceled.
And yep. This is apparently the last time we see Jeff.
Oh, we hardly knew you.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, farewell, Jeff. Jeff.
See you later, Poochie. Oh, well.
Take good care. So the next day after his family's intense condom fight, Toby is frustrated and approaches JT at his locker and shoves all his condoms over to him, saying he can take them. And JT's a little bit confused, but Toby takes off. As JT has just pocketed all the condoms, Spinner shows up, and we see him walking down the hallway trying to rehearse his Taming of the Shrew scene, and he's having a difficult time. And for some reason, JT works up the nerve to tease him about walking and talking at the same time.
Well, JT sees Emma and Manny as well. And so I right. think he's like, oh, I can impress
putting
the ladies.
On the show.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Got it.
Yeah.
So, of course, Spinner shoves JT against the locker. And as he does, all of the condoms.
So many condoms.
Fall out of his pocket. So many condoms he has mm-hmm. fit in his pocket. So he obviously teases JT about it. JT says they're not his, and Emma chimes in saying they must be Toby's. Spinner
thanks,
puts
Emma.
Two. Yeah, thanks, Emma.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Of course she does. Of course she does.
It's like, oh, Toby must be giving your sister a deep dickin', Spinner. That's the only conclusion.
I mean, I had to tell you this now. You're getting married tomorrow. Oh wait, that's the wrong one. Sorry.
I'm today years old, as they say, that I've ever heard the phrase a deep dickin. Thank you, Alan.
We made reference to to a Kevin Smith movie last episode. That term is in another Kevin Smith movie. It was in Chasing Amy.
Excellent.
Chasing Amy's so great.
Yeah.
Spectacular.
All right, so sorry, I'm totally distracted by deep dickin.
Aren't we all?
Emma says that the condoms must be Toby's. Spinner clues in, realizing what's going on. Sidebar, Toby is dating Spinner's younger sister, and he takes off looking to finish Isaac's. Next scene, we see Ashley, who is trying to take a selfie with a Polaroid camera.
Yeah, so this is before we had smartphones and selfies
exactly.
were easy. Yeah.
And I think we're all of the age where we can appreciate how difficult it used to be to take a selfie.
Not only was it difficult, but like in this case, she's got a Polaroid camera, so the picture will print right away. But it used to be that you'd take the photo and then bring it to the photo lab and cross your fingers.
Take it to Costco. Yeah. My friends and I often reminisce about the fucked up shit we sent to fucking like Costco print, like they like crazy weird pictures that we were just okay with other people seeing because we didn't have a choice.
Uh-huh. That was the world yeah. back then. Like dick pics worked very differently.
Right?
Yeah.
So she's Ashley's trying to take a selfie with a Polaroid. Craig shows up and offers to help, takes her photo. We find out she wants to give this photo to Jimmy because she wants him to replace the old picture of her that he currently has in his locker. Instead of taking the old photo down, he puts up the new goth photo right beside it. And she questions him, and he just claims that the more, the better. Finally, Ashley kind of freaks out and gets him to admit that he actually does like the old Ashley better, which is something that we've seen coming throughout this whole episode. So this apparently spurs on Ashley to change herself. She appears at school the next day, void of all of her goth makeup, and sporting some sort of weird collared shirt.
Before she shows up at school, she's also looking at the yearbook from the year before. And Ashley is in every photo. Like, they show, like, the, you know, the photo collage of, like, kids around school. And it's just Ashley, 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 Ashley.
Well, she was school president.
Mm-hmm.
Did you guys have, so the way our yearbooks worked is that they had the, you could search up your name at the back pages, and then it would, beside your name, list all the other pages that you're on.
Oh.
Oh, no.
We didn't have that.
Oh, okay.
No, we did not have something that would acknowledge that some people were on 40 pages and others were on one.
Oh, we did, and it was so great.
That's ridiculous.
More than my friends. But my friends were both, like, super art geeks. Notice I said both. Both of my friends.
All two of them.
That was actually your yearbook quote. Courtney, two friends.
Two friend Courtney. That's right. Exactly.
That's it. So, yes, we see Ashley appear the next day at school, void of makeup, wearing a collared shirt, still getting teased in the hallway by girls for reasons I'm not sure of. I guess maybe just they've noticed she's changed, so they're making fun of her.
Okay, so it's high school, and so I get it. High school kids, and I was one of them at one point, are dicks. I guess I'm still a dick.
Oh, for sure.
But at the same time, I'm like, this is a lot of reaction. Like, when she went goth, they were all on her case. Now she's not, and they're on her case. And it's like, she doesn't look, like, ridiculous either way.
No.
So, it's a lot. Like, I like when they call her vampire and stuff. And it's like, seriously, in the grand scheme of dressing up as goth, Ashley is very tame.
Yeah, it's pretty very tame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like gothic Jon Snow.
Yes.
she has a furry coat in another scene when she's talking to Jimmy about the pictures. I was like, huh. Yeah, gothic Jon Snow.
Queen of the North.
Yeah.
I will say, though, that the illogical, like, hatred of someone did definitely bring back memories of being a girl in, like, middle school and stuff, because there was, I clearly remember, like, there was just irrational disdain for one girl, and nothing that she could have done would have changed that. So I can understand that here. I can't explain it. I don't know why, but there was always just this hatred of this one girl for no reason.
Poor girl at your school. Let's have her on.
I know. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess, like, you know, her, like, flip-flopping back and forth, it's just like she's trying to emulate Ellie, and then she's like, oh, I need to do what Jimmy wants. So, like, it just reeks of weakness. So I could see if you're the kind of girl who preys on weakness, you'd just be like, fuck that bitch. I don't know.
I just can't imagine having the energy to be, like, just so hateful towards someone. She appears at school, sans makeup, wearing preppy clothes. She's still obviously getting teased in the hallway. She shows up to class.
She's not even wearing cute clothes like she would wear last year, though.
No, it's just very boring, like those colored three-quarter
length. I think she would have been a lot more successful if she'd worn, like, cute little clothes like she had on last year.
Maybe they all got set on fire.
Maybe.
By all of her candles.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. So in any case, she shows up at class, and Ellie, Drake, and Spinner all see her, and they all have horrible, less than enthusiastic reactions. Spinner says that she actually looks alive. Ellie doesn't get it, and Drake, her boyfriend, says that he was just getting used to the goth look. And it's all very awful. I said that they were all assholes, and Ellie said something about her being tamed, which would obviously tie into to the play. So we are back to JT and Toby, who are terrified of Spinner. So they are sitting in the media immersion lab, trying to find ways that they can avoid Spinner forever. And they appear to be looking at something called, like, his locker page. And I'm assuming that's just an early, like, iteration of social media.
Yeah, like, I would assume.
like a pre-MySpace thing. Anyways, so they're looking for a schedule. They're trying to make sure that they can avoid ever coming in contact with him again. As they are looking at that page, they get a message and it says, look behind you. And they look, and of course it's Spinner, and he's waving at them, and they jump up and run away. Mm-hmm. Before that, we are treated to a giant snake face floating on all of the computer screens. Mm-hmm. For no reason at all.
So two other things about this scene. Number one, Toby wants to avoid Spinner forever while he's dating Spinner's sister. So you would assume at some point he's going to go over to her place. And so, you know, you're going to have to deal with it at some point. Also, Spinner's locker page has threats. Like, it's basically like, I'm going to fuck you up, Toby. Mm. And there's like a little cartoon of Spinner punching Toby and Toby's head flying off the body. And I was like, so he made a bullying website. And, like, wouldn't that be, like, the kids will be like, well, that's the solution. Let's tell Radich about this website where this kid is saying he's going to kill me. There you have it.
Yeah.
Can you imagine they run to Radich and they're just like, and then we bought condoms, and then when he punched him, and then all the condoms fell onto the floor, and then he knew that I wanted to have sex with Kendra, and then Radich is just like, fuck. Get the fuck away from me.
Radich is like, I'm going to need to take those condoms, kids. You can't have those at school.
Yeah.
Let Radich take them.
Daddy's supply is low.
Have you seen Mrs. Hatzilakis lately?
He's like, ooh, ribbed and glow in the dark. Yep, not allowed. Give him up to Daddy Radich.
Her pleasure. Daddy, what is that?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yet. Sidebar, I 100% wear my thirsty Radich hoodie out in public, like when I'm taking trips to the grocery store and stuff. And I love when people like kind of try to look at it without me noticing them, but I notice them because they have no fucking idea what it is. And it's so great. Anyways,
you just thanks, Tyrell. Thirsty.
Yeah, I lick my lips.
Yep. Oh, one very quick thing too. In the scene before this, there was on the PA announcements. There was a, will Nicole Hamilton please come to the main office immediately? Nicole Hamilton, and Nicole Hamilton was a producer on the show from 2001 to 2005.
Oh snap!
So there you go.
Nice
boy, Arlo. That's amazing.
Yeah. Well done. Arlo's
so pissed at you right now. There's also an announcement. I'm not sure if we even got to it yet, and I couldn't hear it properly, but it's something about the auto shop and a dark green car.
A dark green minivan.
Yes.
It comes up at least twice in it. There's a dark green minivan blocking the entrance to the auto shop.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Dark green minivan. Would Mr. Colby please come pick up his dirt green shop, Mr. Colby. In any case, we finished with Snake's face floating on the computer inexplicably as JT and Toby were trying to run away from Spinner. As they are trying to escape, Toby gets cornered by Kendra, who slams him against the lockers like a fucking boss. And this might be my favorite scene in this whole episode.
I like the idea, like the way they set it up is that he's sneaking around. He's obviously scared of Spinner. And then we see that somebody catches him, but we don't know who. And then he slams up on the locker, and then it reveals Kendra. It's like, surprise, bitch.
Fantastic.
You were scared of Spinner. Kendra gonna rip your dick off.
If I wasn't in grade 7. I think this is legit my favorite scene in this episode. She slams him against the locker, screaming at him, how old am I? And he answers, what grade am I in? He answers, you thought I'd have sex with you? You're a pervert. And she shoves him and runs away.
Excellent.
Yep.
And I thought that was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
I do admire that Kendra, like, she's feisty. Like, she'll just go after you. Mm-hmm. Like, she'll just tell you exactly what she thinks, and she will just, like, she does not mess around. And I appreciate that with all the other messing around bullshit that happens.
I mean, she is growing up with Spinner, so you have two options, right? Like, you can totally be an introvert and just let him dominate, or you can be like, no, I just don't take shit from anybody.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciate that she's gone the latter route, and she's a tough bitch. And this is one character that they've actually, the continuation of her character has been really good.
Yeah, it's right? not like all of a sudden there's an episode where she's like, I love Toby and I wish that he was my honey bunny. Like, unlike some other characters where they've kind of betrayed what they've created. Yes, I agree.
Like, mm-hmm. her character's been consistent. I think we all agree that Toby's a little bit of a wuss. You know, like, he obviously needs a more dominant partner to balance him out. And, yeah, she's badass. And they've done such a great job at keeping her character that way.
Well, again, I think I stated this in a previous episode. I don't even know why Toby bothers with the condoms, because Kendra is going to totally peg him. So.
Oh. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. That even... We'll get to the explanation, which doesn't make sense, but that is 100% what would have happened. So outside, we are taken to the girls. So Paige, Terry, Hazel, and they're talking about some fucking commercial that they've seen called Existential Jeans. And life yes. is meaningless without jeans. Existential. Uh-huh. And as next to Kendra, that is my fucking favorite scene of this whole episode. Uh-huh. What? Like, who came up with that? It's fantastic. So they're raving about these existential jeans. Ashley's kind of sitting to the side, doesn't know what they're talking about. Terry says that she'll get back in the loop soon. So I guess this is, again, like, referencing her sudden personality switch. Well, Paige calls her on it, of course, asking why she's ungothed herself. Ashley avoids the question. Paige does sort of give her a compliment, saying that it suited her. But Ashley avoids answering and says she has to take off to meet Craig for their scene rehearsal, which is inexplicably in a forest.
Also, Terry talks to Ashley here, like, Ashley, mm-hmm. like, you're out of the loop, we'll catch you up. Like, they haven't seen each other in months, even though they both went to Drake's party together 2 episodes ago. Like,
because she's goth, maybe she doesn't watch TV.
Yeah,
like, she doesn't own a television anymore. Like, is that against, you know?
Maybe she doesn't wear jeans. I had many questions about what that meant. Why is she out of the loop? They were friends as of, like, 2 episodes ago.
Yeah.
I assume they were just trying to, like, make it seem like, oh, you're back now from being weird, so we'll fill you back in.
That's all they ever did before when they were hanging out, is Ashley playing her emo music in her room to Terry.
Yeah.
Right?
And telling Terry, like, you wouldn't understand because no boys like you. So.
You have never... Jesus Christ.
I want to go back to this forest, though. This is fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, first forest scene, right? No reason for it. No lead up, just bam, forest. So Ashley shows up in the forest without her makeup. And Craig, obviously, we can see, seems surprised, but he chooses not to comment. They get to rehearsing the scene. And they proceed with their original plan on making the scene appear that... the dude who I think is Petruchia. So they're trying to just portray Petruchia as a villain and sexist.
Petruchio.
Petruchia. Petruchia.
Marushio.
Yeah, with an O. Petruchio.
Or Petruchia.
Marshmallow.
That's fine.
C-3PO.
Marshmallow, that's
right. C-3PO.
Yeah. Good.
Marshmallow. Petruchia. Mm-hmm. They're trying to just portray the guy as a villain and sexist and abusive. But as Ashley has changed her image, she is now questioning that approach. And she raises the point with Craig, saying, you know, we're portraying him as a villain and we don't know his story, yada, yada, yada. Craig sticks by their original plan, saying that he's a dick. And if he really loved her, he would not want to change her.
So two things here. Number one, we're planting the seeds for the Craig and Ashley relationship that's going to happen, which doesn't end well. And Ted. Also, though, so when they're talking about Marshmallow or whatever his name is.
yes, that's his name.
Yeah. They're talking about Drake, right? Like, that's the idea here, is that Ashley is like, oh, this is like Drake, which is like, so we're trying to paint Drake as like a villain here. Like, Drake is not a dick. He's not sexist and abusive. He's, you know, he prefers what Ashley was, but he said he was getting used to it. And it's clear that they don't have a ton in common, and we're going to see how that plays out. But like, he's not an asshole. And
that's Drake is the same as he's always been, right? Like, Drake is the same as he's always been. It's Ashley who has changed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, he's the same.
And he's trying to make this, like, square peg in a round hole relationship work. He's not like, why aren't you more like this? And blah, blah, blah. She's the one that's drawing it out of him.
Exactly. She's the one that's trying to make him, like, opine on condoms.
Yeah.
Like, she's the one forcing him to make a choice.
So it's not, I mean, again, it's not the two of them necessarily, it's the writers, but I'm like, okay, yeah, I get it. We're supposed to be thinking of Drake when you're saying this, but like, I don't think Drake is a dick, and this is a little over the top. He's abusive and sexist. All right.
Yeah, this isn't Scott. I mean, I don't think
he's actively trying to change her either.
He's not.
Like, he's, you know, when she's asking him about things, he's being honest with her. And, like, I think he's, you know, trying to accept it and work through it. Like, it's obviously a rough patch that they're having. But, like, yeah, like, he's not demanding that she change.
She's demanding that he change, I think, is a more accurate statement, right?
Yeah.
So, in any case, yes, it's clear that we understand what's happening here with the acting. We see Ashley pondering after Craig says that Marshmallow is a jerk.
I love how Craig just says, like, he's just like, if someone really loves you, they'll accept everything about you. And she's just like, sploosh.
Yeah.
Exactly what she wants to hear.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She's like the marshmallow in a s'more. It's like, shh. Spinner has tracked down Toby and has grabbed him by the collar and is preparing to punch him. Toby is trying to explain himself by saying he really likes his sister, has never thought about having sex with her. They've only kissed once. I was never going to bone her. Spinner raises a very good question. If you weren't thinking about fucking her, why did you go to the store and buy all these condoms?
Expensive.
In my opinion, Toby doesn't really have a good answer to that. Instead, he says, we don't talk about that, but if we did, I'd want to take care of her if we ever did have sex. And realizing that's probably a really stupid answer, he throws his best friend under the bus and blames JT for putting sexy thoughts in his head. Spinner redirects his anger and is off to find JT. So we see Jimmy / Drake and Hazel heading into the auditorium. We also see Ashley and Craig. So Drake and Hazel are first up to perform their scene. Drake's dressed up as a football player. Hazel's dressed up as a cheerleader. And Hazel does a fucking cheer at the end. And it pissed me off. They get a relatively good reception from the crowd, and Miss Kwan asks them to explain why they chose sports / football. And Jimmy explains that they wanted to use sports as a modern touch and to make it even funnier. And what really happened, I guess, is that Jimmy and Hazel enforce the perceived sexism of the original storyline but in a more fun and modern way. And we see Ashley on the side isn't happy with Jimmy's interpretation of the scene.
He literally says he made Kate the perfect wife for him, his own cheerleader.
Exactly. So I think my interpretation isn't that wrong. Enforcing the sexism of the storyline that Craig and her obviously were upset about, right?
I mean, I don't know that a cheerleader and a football player are necessarily a great interpretation of this scene either.
What is the ultimate pairing in modern day terms, Arlo?
I mean, I don't know Heath that I would
Ledger assign, and Julia like, Stiles
occupations to them or anything like that.
Yeah, Heath Ledger, Julia.
They're not on the same team at any rate. You know, they're not playing for the same goal.
Mm-hmm.
They're not playing with the same hockey ball.
No,
exactly.
Woof woof.
In any case, we clearly establish a very different take on the play. So Jimmy and Hazel are done, and it's Craig and Ashley's turn, and they add some major drama to the scene. So this is where maybe we'll get Arlo to take over, because we see Craig portraying a very abusive and violent character.
He's playing his dad.
That could be true.
Alan, would you refer to this in wrestling terms? Would you refer to this as working stiff?
Yes.
Which is when wrestlers really they're not really pulling the punches and they're actually hitting. Like it's yeah.
Yes.
I think so too.
It may not be. You know, totally stiff. There's another term for how Bret Hart worked, which was nice and snug. That's how.
Agreed.
Yeah. Which basically means like by working somebody pretty stiff, you're actually keeping them pretty safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That's nice.
Yeah.
In this scene, Petruchio is trying to woo Catherine. And Catherine
His name is Marshmallio.
Yeah.
Having,
what kind of Shakespeare fan are you?
None of it. And they're both very witty people. And they're basically, it's like a battle of wits. They're like, they're going back and forth, each one-upping each other in terms of their wordplay.
Okay. So what you're saying is that Degrassi has done a bad job at interpreting this play.
In my opinion, they have done a bad job interpreting this scene for this.
And perhaps they may have twisted it for their own purposes.
Perhaps.
Okay.
That is just my opinion. Maybe
some of
our listeners agree with the interpretation that Ashley and Craig came up with.
I am sure we will get a lot of emails from listeners.
Narbosandbroomheads@gmail.com, please.
Yes, please. Yeah. Please share your thoughts.
Yeah, Shakespeare fans, let us know. Hit us up on Twitter.
Teaming of the shoe.
@NarbosPodcast. Yeah, we want to know all about your thoughts on Shakespeare and Degrassi.
Yeah, Hashtag taming the shrew. Hashtag Marshmallio. Let us know. Hit us up. Okay. So, we finished the super intense scene.
Which includes Craig throwing Ashley to the ground, going down next to her, grabbing her by the fucking neck.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking intense.
I believe in this scene that they've come up with, Ashley's job is to get beaten up. Craig has all of the lines. She just has to cry. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm sort of confused about the message.
Also, did they rehearse this beating in the forest? Is what I wanted to know earlier.
Maybe that's why they were in the forest.
Yeah.
It's tough to say.
Yeah.
People will step in. Yeah. And we don't want that.
So we're obviously in a very intense scene. And to balance out this intensity, of course, we are taken to JT, who is being punished by Spinner.
Before that, though, when Miss Kwan talks about their scene and calls it intense, Ashley, after this fucking scene, is like, it doesn't seem like comedy because it's about breaking someone's spirit and making them into a lesser version of themselves. And then I wrote, Jesus, she could have just dumped Drake. Like, it's a fucking lot to, you know, come to this conclusion. Just break up with the guy. Fuck.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
She goes on this soliloquy, staring directly at Drake, basically saying, "You're the problem. I'm the shrew. Stop it."
Like, this is really over the top way of, like, concluding that these two aren't meant for each other. And again, yeah. I feel like we're painting Drake unfairly. Like, he's not a dick. He's a dumb kid. He's trying his best in this situation. And I mean, we've seen a lot of guys be assholes in Degrassi, subtly and not so much. And I don't think that he is in this case.
100% agree. Yeah. So yes, we see that one last scene. And then we're taken to JT, who's being punished by Spinner. Spinner has dressed him up head to toe in glow-in-the-dark condoms. And I thought it was actually pretty great. So they turn on this black light and he looks ridiculous.
All right, two things about this scene. Number one, Spinner has tied up JT with condoms and there are kids in this classroom and everybody's laughing. There's not a teacher in sight. So
yeah.
The second thing is Spinner makes a speech where he says, "This is about Kendra. There's enough pressure out there to have sex, and she doesn't need it from any of them." And I thought, who is this new student that we're introducing to Degrassi? Like, right? All of a sudden, it's sensitive Spinner. So,
I mean, I guess there's somewhat of an explanation in the sense that, you know, tough guys often have soft spots for their siblings and their younger siblings.
Yeah, but, like, I would understand the, like, "Don't fuck my sister or I'll fuck you up" kind of thing, as opposed to the speech where he's like, "There's enough pressure out there for sex. My sister doesn't need that." What? Like, Spinner would never say that.
No.
Women are facing enough inequalities as it is. Mm-hmm. Why would you encourage that?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag me too.
Understand your privilege as a white male and do your best to lift up women.
Also, I'd like to do a land acknowledgement for this school.
Thanks, Spinner.
Yeah.
Spinner, always with the land acknowledgements.
Holy shit, that's so great. Okay, head to Dokondo. He kind of looks like a glow-in-the-dark goat. All things aside, like, he's got the floppy ears. I got a goat vibe of it. But anyways, I thought it was a good joke. Appreciated it. Spinner's comments were a little out of character, but whatever. But we are taken back to the intensity. We see Ashley approaching Jimmy at his locker. And as requested by Jimmy, she has signed their yearbook from last year.
She's also goth again.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Guess who's back? Back again. Goth is back. Tell your friends. So she's back to her true, authentic self. And she hands him the signed yearbook. And of course, it's not just a signature. No. It is, of course, a poem.
She's ruined the page of this fucking yearbook. Like,
I'm sorry. Her poem would take a whole page to write on. So yeah. Like, you're writing over other people's faces.
Yes.
Also, he's going to have that yearbook for, like, I don't know, the rest of his life. Every time he looks at it, he's going to be like, "Oh, that's when Ashley broke up with me in the yearbook."
Yeah. But he's not going to think. It's not going to be emotional. It's going to be like, look at this chick who, like, took up this whole page and wrote this shit to me. Like, I have my yearbooks from that age. Like, I read all of the comments. Like, there's no emotional attachment to anything.
And that will be Drake's worst memory from all of high school.
The end.
Yeah. It never gets worse for him.
I'm totally okay with this.
Yeah.
That's true. So Ashley has signed the yearbook, but she has not just signed it. She has, of course, composed a fucking poem, and it's really long, and he starts to read it out loud. And I understand the scene is supposed to be artsy because he's reading this poem talking about how they have separated and they're not the same, and they've grown apart. So every line he reads, she backs away from him, backs mm-hmm. away from him, uh-huh. and then she just
she's doing it literally.
Away.
Yeah.
Yes, and she turns away, and eventually he looks up, and he's like, "What?" And scene.
Yeah, she says the last line of the poem along with him, and she is crying, and it's like. Ugh.
And then the extended version is like, it cuts back to Drake, and he's like, "You're a fucking vampire again." And then it cuts. Exactly.
Yeah, his hit song used to be like, "Ashley, do you love me? Why are you crying?" No, yeah.
You used to call me on my cell phone.
Yeah.
I don't know that a teenage boy would get it.
You could call me in my back cave.
No, I just think he's like he'd read the poem and be like, "Whoa, that was a really weird poem, Ash. Everything okay?" Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. I don't know that he would necessarily, like, a grade 9 boy catch on that this is a breakup poem.
He'd be like, "You ruined the fucking page of my yearbook."
Also, you should see the guidance counselor. Like, yeah. Not like, good.
Why are you walking backwards away? What's going on here?
Come on, let's go to the cafeteria. Get some Fritovic sauce. What's yeah, up? Baby. Ash.
The Degrassi Wiki has comments. We have, first Ashley wants to break up with Jimmy because he's suffocating her. Then she cheats on him while on ecstasy because he respected her parents' rule about only allowing one friend at her house to sleep over. Then he's trying to tame her because he honestly states that he preferred her old look to her current one. All of these problems could have been resolved themselves with a simple conversation. Tell Jimmy you feel suffocated. He'd have backed off. Make it clear to Jimmy you want his company and don't leave him to assume while he's trying to respect your alone time. Tell Jimmy that being with you means learning to love how your new you looks. Tell him that you're no longer that person anymore and then he needs to accept that. Basically, she's saying, like, come on, Ashley. Like, are you fucking serious?
Don't be 14 years old.
Yeah.
Was that signed
the wisdom of adulthood?
Yes, it was Oprah. You're correct.
Like, that's some insightful Oprah shit right there.
Yeah.
But it's fucking true, though. Like, they try really hard to make Jimmy the problem here, but he never actually is.
Jimmy is kind of like, what? That's it.
What have I done wrong? I've been exactly the same all the time. Mm-hmm.
This next person, this is, again, I'm reading from a page, so this is their opinion.
Uh-oh.
I'm going to piss people off, but fuck the whole emo thing. It's not self-expression, and it's ugly. And as someone who's gone through middle and high school, I've seen almost everyone grow out of it. Sorry Jimmy liked you when you dressed happy and looked good instead of Dracula's wife. So, you know.
But I mean, I think it sounds like we're all kind of on the same page in the sense that Jimmy really hasn't done too much wrong.
The problem here is like Jimmy. So remember, of course, these are both like grade 9 kids, right? So they're in this relationship. It doesn't fit. They've been in one before. They seem to still like each other, but it's just not working. Jimmy's way of going about it is like, I'm going to try to make it fit. I'm not going to say anything. Ashley is clearly bothered by it. Her method is have Craig beat the shit out of me in a play and then tell Drake, this is you. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just pretty clear that they just don't have fun together mm-hmm. anymore.
Like, well, they're different.
Yeah, they're different now, and they don't have fun together anymore, and he has more fun with Hazel, and she has fun being all fucking emo and political with Craig. And, yeah. Like, that's just how relationships kind of go sometimes. Like, you just stop having fun, and the things that used to be fun aren't fun anymore. So...
Bye!
I will...
Yeah!
I was going to make a very dark reference to marriage, but I will avoid it. And instead, comment on, despite the fact that we've kind of trashed the writers, or at least I have, for the past few episodes. Like, I do actually appreciate the effort they put in to, like, the comparisons to the play and, like, how they relate to the story.
This episode is much better than some of the latest ones.
Much better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, it's a very obvious comparison in terms of the Taming of the Shrew thing, but I can respect it. It's clear, and viewers can actually understand, I think, the comparisons.
I love this.
You say that after every episode.
Mm-hmm. Trademark.
This is my new favorite episode. No. Yeah. I don't think we're all going to be as jovial about the next episode. Like, I'm not saying it's a bad episode, but, you know, we've really missed getting mad at Emma.
And we may get some meat, although it may be GMO meat, as we'll find out.
Yes.
Oh.
All right, so let's all cross our fingers and hope the fucking storylines get a little better next week.
Please.
Please, God. Let's hope so. In any case, send us your thoughts. And in the meantime, thanks for checking us out. I think all that's left is to say bye.
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 See you next time, baby.
Well, I just said I'm going to get my love. I would never do my homework. I would stay up late and dream about Kylan. I would never put girls out of my house.
Maybe I would.
I would walk around the cafe cut just to get caught my dreams. Everyone